Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, ho, ho!
Hello.
I don't think that was my best ho, ho, ho.
No, do it again.
Well, I won't, and I'll tell you why. I've been struggling, and this is why the podcast is a day late. My glands have been up.
They have.
In my neck. Have you found yourself in the past couple of years combining any symptom you have with the word COVID on a Google search?
Haven't we all? literally everything. Every time, any twinge, any pain, any slight ailment.
But I know what the symptoms of COVID are. They told us.
Yeah, but now you have to do like the slight ailment plus Omicron.
Yes.
To find out, you know, if it's is it part of the new one. Yeah.
We did a live show for our Succession podcast on Sunday just gone. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it. I did sing on stage, which with hindsight might have been a mistake. Okay. I'll tell Annabelle what I sang, and I'll tell you, but I'll just say, just in case you are either not caught up on Succession or you're planning on watching it and you just haven't yet, then fast forward the next 30 seconds just while I tell her what I did. Mm-hmm. So we had an interval, and then for the second half, I just got the sound guy to fade the music to silence. I walked up onto the stage alone where there was a microphone stand, and then he started playing Billy Joel's Honesty and sang the first couple of lines.
Wow.
Like Kendall at the rehearsal for his 40th birthday party.
Oh, I love that.
Well, I'll be honest, it wasn't quite as good as you might be picturing. Not that my singing was good, but I didn't really know the words, so I had to scribble them down on a piece of paper which was next to my feet.
Oh,
I was looking
okay.
at my feet a lot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, why did I mention that? Oh, yeah, so we did this thing on Sunday, which I was in two minds about because of the Omicron. But then I thought, people can make their own minds up, can't they? It's allowed.
Yep.
People can make their own minds up.
Yep.
And maybe there are people out there, you know, when parents take their kids to a chickenpox spreader party, I thought maybe are people going to treat it like that?
Really?
I don't know.
I don't think anyone's treating it like that, but it's nice that you thought of those people.
I want to be clear here. I wasn't treating it like that.
No, no.
So that was fun. My glands have been up. And last night, which is when we should have recorded the podcast, I was in agony, Annabelle.
You couldn't even speak, could you?
Couldn't speak, couldn't swallow. But it's not my throat. It's like it's there in my neck. It's his glands. They've come down a bit today, but I can feel they're on the rise again.
Oh dear.
But I've done extensive Googling, and it doesn't appear to be COVID related. Nor does it appear to be anything potentially fatal. So, here we are. Apologies for podcast being late, and this is our last Adrift prior to Christmas. So we're in a festive mood.
Yep.
You might not be able to tell it by me whinging about my glands for the past 3 minutes. But there you go. Also, we're doing it remotely just to be on the safe side. which means I can't give you your Christmas gift.
Oh, we'll have to do a New Year exchange.
I know, that's what we'll do. That's what I think. So I've got it just here. I'm looking at Annabelle down the webcam. I've got it just down here out of shot. I won't pick it up and show it to you. It is all wrapped up. It's lovely, but I've got it just here.
Right.
But we'll do it in the new year.
Okay.
But it's definitely there.
You are starting to think that maybe you haven't bought it
yet.
No,
it's definitely down there. Yeah, yeah.
Get it out. Show me.
I'm not thinking, oh, thank God that we're doing it remotely. That buys me 2 weeks. I don't even need to think about it until the January sales. I'm not thinking that. I'm definitely not thinking it's
okay.
there.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
You don't have to get me one.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't have to get me one, though.
Okay.
I'm so behind on my gift buying that I am considering the nuclear option.
You were? What do you mean the nuclear option?
Like making a donation to charity on people's behalf.
Oh, is that the nuclear option?
Yeah.
That's the button you press when it's hit and you can't salvage it. Yeah. You were saying to me, asking before about advice on what to get for Sarah, and I looked at the date and I thought, wow, 10 days to go, Jeff.
I know, but we've got all next week is a working week. Christmas falls on a Saturday.
Oh, is it on the Saturday? Okay. Is it Christmas Day on the Saturday? I didn't even know. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I received the other day through the post the most lavish box of chocolates and chocolate products from somebody that I do some work for.
Mm.
It was really, I mean, from a high-end, posh West London chocolatier.
Oh, really? Lovely.
It's probably artisanal. I think it was artisanal.
Sounds like it was.
Yeah. But I feel like it's caused me a problem.
Which is?
It's difficult to justify buying a tub of Quality Street now.
Oh, and that's the classic Christmas.
Now, Sarah obviously grew up in America where the Quality Street aren't a thing. And there's other, I think, and she's also a bit of a snob.
With it, so, that chocolate, isn't she?
Yeah. So she always hated the idea of having this Quality Street tub in the house anyway. She's barely tolerated it in previous years. And I really felt like by buying it and by having it, I'm scoring a point in the ongoing war of attrition that is a marriage. Felt like it was point to me getting Quality Street in the house.
Mm.
But I can't do it now, can I?
You could get some roses. I always feel that's like the one up.
Well, this is interesting. I think it's one down.
Oh, how interesting. Okay.
All right, put these chocolates in order of poshness.
Oh, please.
Ready?
I love this.
Yep, ready for this? Yep. Quality Street roses.
Yeah.
Celebrations. Miniature heroes.
Yeah.
Matchmakers.
Yeah.
And after eights.
Okay, poshness.
So do you want to start poshest or least posh?
Yeah, I'll go poshest. After eights.
Yep.
Followed by roses. Followed by Quality Street.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, followed by matchmakers. Followed by miniature heroes. Followed by celebrations.
Interesting.
I
feel like we have similar opinions, but we're quite a way apart on the detail. So after eight, number one, we're both very classy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you went round to, I don't know, Princess Michael of Kent's house, maybe that's what's coming out after dinner.
Or a Bendix, but yeah.
Well, I know, but I didn't want to start introducing Bendix mints into, because now we're into a whole other realm, aren't we?
That's, artisanal.
Maybe she wasn't the, well, I don't even know about artisanal. It's
not
like,
a joke.
It's like aristocratic, isn't it?
I've got 3 boxes in my fridge because they're on special offer at the moment. They're only £3.50.
So that's why I deliberately left them out. But so we got after eights there at the top of the tray. It is difficult. Quality Street versus roses.
I feel quite firmly that roses is ahead. But
when I initially introduced the topic, I was sure I was right about Quality Street. But now that I look at your list, I'm going to concede roses at number 2.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm not entirely sure about bumping matchmakers down to 4th place, though.
I wasn't. I think they maybe should have been second.
Okay, let's get a consensus. Let's put Matchmakers second, then Roses, yep. then Quality yep. Street.
Yeah.
And then I strongly feel that Miniature Heroes are at the bottom of the pile.
Okay, to be honest, I couldn't quite remember which was which, so I just put them in a random order.
I just think it's a more low-rent name.
Mm-mm, you're right, Miniature Heroes.
Heroes, yeah.
Celebrations. Okay, yeah, I will agree with that.
It's close, but okay, there we have the definitive list of chocolates, posh to least posh. Asterix is number one, Matchmakers, Roses, Quality Street, Celebrations and Miniature Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm glad we've reached a consensus. That appears to be the first few minutes of the podcast. That went on longer than I was intending it to do. Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho! Shall we hear from the Drifters?
Let's. First of all, from Sarah. I was visiting my non-drifter friend's house last week. She is in the middle of renovating her bathroom, and thus there was a plumber in to do some work. Her kids were home from school and were running around and screaming loudly. My friend asked the plumber if he had children. When he replied that he did not, she apologised for all the noise and he said, "Not a problem," and went back to work. About 15 minutes later, my friend's youngest daughter had an epic meltdown, a tantrum of enormous proportions, screaming and throwing herself on the floor because my friend had refused her a snack so close to supper. As the plumber walked by the hysterical child, my friend said, "I bet you're really glad you don't have kids now." And to my utter horror, he replied, "My wife and I tried to have kids for 6 years, actually." My friend just responded with, "I'm so sorry to hear that." And then continued on with her day.
Oh, my goodness.
What is the term for a drifter who sees a non-drifter do something socially horrifying and feels as if they'd done it themselves? Because let me tell you, I've been on the brink of sending a card with a heartfelt, lengthy apology, along with a gift of some kind to that plumber. I have heard his words every night before I go to sleep since that day. And I'm willing to bet my friend would have to be reminded of the incident because she's such a non-drifter that she's probably not thought about it since.
It's vicarious drifting.
Yeah, I think we can get some more on
drifting
this.
Drifting by proxy.
Witnessing the worst moments ever that they just bat away and don't seem to care about.
I have to say, as somebody who had fertility issues, I do think it's a bit of a dick move to say, "Yeah, actually, my wife and I, we struggled to have kids for 6 years." Bottle it up.
True, true.
Like, that's just what people say, isn't it? "Oh, I bet you're glad you've not had kids." Mm. Don't tell the truth. Don't talk about your pain. Bottle it up and, cover everything with nice, slightly awkward, semi-humorous small talk.
It was a buzzkill, wasn't it?
Yeah, don't kill the buzz. I mean, if possible, stay away from the buzz.
Yeah. No, but if you're there, don't kill.
Don't kill it.
Next one's from Andrew. As an unexpected consequence of wearing both a face mask and noise cancelling headphones, is that the I completely misread that. I'm going to start again. An unexpected consequence of wearing both a face mask and noise cancelling headphones is that the line between thinking and speaking out loud seems to become dangerously blurred for me. I will often find myself replying to a podcast out loud. But the worst moment so far has been when I was in Tesco looking at the lunchtime meal deals. I saw they now included a microwave toastie in their main options. I knew this was likely to be underwhelming compared to a real toastie, but I did really fancy a toastie. So I picked it up, stared at it, and out loud said, "Look, I'm taking a chance on you. Don't let me down." Realising this had been heard by the people around me, I scurried away as quickly as possible. And this same week, some new people moved into our building. I've not met them, but as I was coming home, they were waving at me enthusiastically from their window. So I smiled and waved back. Except they were actually just cleaning their windows.
Oh, no.
There's no option now. We're moving. Okay, we're moving anyway. And I have never been more grateful.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. And the last one, this is a festive one from Lieutenant Colonel Colin. Many years ago, I worked in a team of about 7 people at the internet bank Egg. They decided we should do a secret Santa and hand out the gifts at our Christmas meal. Within the team, I got on quite well with a few of them, but there was one person I didn't particularly know or have anything in common with and generally felt quite awkward around. They did the draw in our team meeting with the rule that we go round one at a time, and if you picked yourself out, you put it back and swap it. I was second to last, and when it got to me, I pulled a name out, took a look, and sure enough, it was the person I barely knew. I had no idea what to get this person, and because the gifts would be handed over at the meal, I got it into my head that everyone would confess who they got presents for, and then they'd all be wondering why I'd bought something weird for this person. In a moment of panic, I said, "Oh, I've got my own name," put it back, and pulled out the last one. For a brief second, I thought I was a genius, and then I opened it up and realised I'd now picked my own name. Oh, God. Why hadn't I just stuck with this other person? How on earth could I go to a meal and give myself a gift? When they all say who they'd got, they'd find out I picked myself. And instead of saying anything, I tried to hide it by buying myself a gift. And what if they'd remembered I'd swapped my name? They'd ask me who I was snubbing and why. I felt utterly panicked. Then, wide awake in the middle of the night, I thought of a way out of it. I bought the other person a present anyway, and on the day of the meal, they got two gifts and I didn't get one. I made the organiser feel terrible for quite clearly cocking up the names and missing me out, but writing down the other name twice. I told them it didn't matter, but I could tell they felt really bad. I guiltily accepted free drinks from them when they insisted on making up for their mistake. I accepted their apology through the night and the following week and well into the new year. And for months, I laughed along with the banter from other people about whether this person knew who I was, whether they knew I was a member of the team. But at least I didn't have to admit what I'd done. I'm an awful human being.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for those. Thank you for all the stories this year. Funny old time. Yes. Funny old time, isn't it, when you start thinking back on the year? But here we are. What are we into now, Annabelle? Are we into like our fifth year of Adrift?
Oh, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, goodness me. That's why that took so long.
No, it's
painful, wasn't it? See me like, looking at my fingers. One, two.
And we really, you know, we're really, yeah, constantly astounded. The stuff you send to us, long may it continue. The email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com. All right, Hamble. You take a sip of that there. What have you got in there? What have you got in
big
there?
Milk? Glug.
A glass of milk?
Yeah, I'm having a lovely glass of warm milk. No, it's water.
It's so weird, like, watching the Get Back, the Beatles thing, to watch grown men drinking milk.
Do they drink milk in it?
Yeah, but I think people just would drink milk back then.
Oh, really? Yeah. I can't remember.
No, you weren't around in the 60s.
But did they just glug it out of a milk bottle?
Yeah, I do think like people to drink a glass of milk was a much more common thing in our childhood than it is now, right?
I guess so.
Anyway, sorry for wait. I was trying to buy you a bit of time where you swallowed whatever. Would you say?
Oh, water, thank you.
Water was it?
Water, just plain water. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Room temperature.
Yeah,
it's good temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, depending on the room. Are you going to give us another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult?
I am. I'm going to talk about Christmas, which will be annoying for anyone who's behind and listening to this in the summer. I feel like I very much overreact when my son is watching a cartoon and it's on autoplay, like one after the other, and one comes on that is Christmas themed and it's not December. I can't make him skip it and watch the next one.
Well, you've got a little phobia. You've got a little phobia to do with that, haven't you?
Well, I don't like Christmas carols outside of Christmas, but these they very rarely have any Christmas singing in them. Or maybe it's my fear that they will. Maybe that's what it's connected to.
What is that fear? Oh, didn't bad something luck. Awful happen? Like you put your hand through? Yeah.
Yeah, I had this tambourine that I'd got for the Tarantella ballet dance, where you have to do a dance about dying from a tarantula bite. And I was playing it in the summer and I was singing Good King Wenceslas and my hand went through it. But I think I've learned since that it is bad luck and I proved it. So
Yeah, I don't know. I think there are, you know, I think we could probably ask for many, many, many instances of people singing it and not putting their hands through anything or you know, suffering similar fates. But anyway, let's not get bogged
down. I wouldn't want anyone to risk it. Yeah. No. So anyway, it just feels really wrong for me. Oh, and we were watching Ted Lasso last night, which has been out for ages. And it was the episode we'd happened to got to in season two was a Christmas episode. Coincidentally, it is Christmas, but I would not have been able to watch it if it was September, for example.
Really?
Yes. I would think this is wrong. This feels so wrong to be watching people in Santa hats with snow and eating turkey. And they played a bit of that Pogue song. And I would have felt that was so wrong.
How do you feel about... So, for example, I know that you watched Succession this week. Mm. They were in Tuscany under the summer sun.
Oh, that's fine.
But isn't that just the inverse? Yes.
I very much see the point you're making. And you've proved that's illogical. But yeah, no, that's totally fine.
Okay.
It's just Christmas I can't handle. So sorry for anyone listening in the future who feels the same way as me. Maybe not many people. But Christmas and the way I'm not a fully functioning adult. Every time I get a little bit excited about something Christmassy, whether it be my son opening presents or mulled wine around a log fire or singing O Come All Ye Faithful and doing the descant on O Come, there's a voice in me that goes, oh, you're pathetic. Like I'm just one step away from becoming that man, Mr. Christmas, who has decorations up all year round and eats Christmas dinner every day. Does he still do that? I have to admit, I didn't check.
It was like a perennial story in the Daily Mirror, wasn't it?
Yeah. I just wish that I could be excitedly doing my
it's
Christmas
so bleak.
Shopping.
Do you not think they're so bleak, those people?
Well, you do wonder what's behind it.
It's not good. Mm. I think it's nice that they've found somewhere to put their pain that looks festive, but I do think it's coming from a place of deep pain.
Yeah, well, because where else could it be coming from? It can't be coming from a place of deep joy. I just really wish that I could excitedly do my Christmas shopping in November and put my tree up on December the 1st and book tickets for carol concerts and festive theatrical productions and just enjoy it. And I have this awful little voice in my head going, oh, you're pathetic, getting carried away like the rest of them.
So you think you're better than the rest of them?
No.
What's implied.
I'm worse than the rest of them.
No, but you don't want to. You think they're pathetic.
Because they're getting carried away. Yeah,
and if you do that, then you're
I'll be
better
like
than
them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. It's terrible. Yeah. It's a very bad part of me. And I don't know whether to blame my parents because...
Yeah, probably your mum rather than your dad.
No, they were into Christmas in some respects. Like you literally couldn't see the white of the ceiling because my dad put so many decorations up. And let me tell you, these were not classy decorations. We're talking very basic paper chains. And when they were taken down in January, the room looked so bare. It was like we were now living in a safe house. Maybe it's from school. Nativity play. Like if you go to an all-girls school, which I did in the 80s, which I did, there is no better way to find out if you're the pretty girl or not than the gender of the role you get in the nativity play. Because there's only one explicitly female role in the whole play. Like it's all a bit Garrett Club, a bit Freemasons. And the one pretty girl gets to play Mary. And she was invariably blonde, so I was always jealous. I think maybe some of this bitterness comes from here. Not that I want to be Mary, though, of course, because I don't like how she's defined by her sexual experience in a way that Joseph is not. But had he done it before? Like, we don't know. Why don't we know? I want to know if he's the virgin Joseph or the dirty boy Joseph, so I can call him that.
Because those are the only two things you can be.
That says a lot about me.
Mm. The serial monogamist.
Yeah. I'm kind of also irritated by Father Christmas because I think Father is a bit overly formal. And weirdly, my dad, who is one of the least formal people I know and wears shorts from February to November, he refers to himself as Father and Grandfather, even though none of us have ever called him that ever. And yet he still persists. When he calls up, it's your father, and cards are signed from Father. What do you call yourself?
Dad. I mean, I like such authority that at the moment, I would say 15% of the time, Jean calls me Jeff.
Okay, yeah. And you're not going with Pops or Pa or Papa.
Papa, I like Papa Jeff. That's nice. Like Papa Smurf.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I went to pick him up from school the other day. And as I entered the playground, they sit them outside because of COVID and they're just waiting there for you. And he didn't know I was there because I was behind some other parents. And he was just sat on a stone chanting, "Where's Big Fat Dad? Where's Big Fat Dad?"
Oh my God. Why was he calling you that?
I don't know.
That's not, I'd definitely go with Papa over Big Fat Dad. Yeah. Definitely. I'm also very uncomfortable with a sexy Santa. Like Santa's for kids. Like this to me would be like dressing up as a sexy marshal from Paw Patrol. And I'll finish on that image while I work on my issues about being better than everyone else. Happy Christmas. And sorry if it's May.
I'll tell you what's creepy. The song Santa Baby.
Santa Baby coming down the chimney. What's creepy about it?
I don't know. There's almost like a babyish way that anybody singing that song sings it. Mm-hmm. And then Santa's this old dude with a white beard.
Mm.
And you know that she's playing him just for the material presence. You know, she's not that interested. She's not into him. Anyway, yes, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since you have admitted something, I think, a bit dark about yourself, let me give you one. So it was Jean's concert, Christmas concert the other day.
Yeah.
And as it happened, we didn't get to go because it was supposed to be outside because of the pandemic. And then on the day it was happening, there was this storm. So we didn't get there. And we were really looking forward to it, right? Just like, because we didn't get to go last year on his first year in reception. And we were so disappointed. Now, I happen to know that their class sang two songs. One of them, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great song, isn't it?
Love it.
The other one, and I was so pleased, by the way, when he came home and said he was going to be singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, because I thought that is a banger. Last year, they sang some weird song about being moles. I'm not sure if it was composed especially, but got to be honest, wasn't great. The other song that he came home singing, I was a little perturbed by.
Oh, go on. What was it?
It was Go Tell It on the Mountain that Jesus Christ is Born.
Okay.
Now, I increasingly, as I get older even, I think I could be a bit daft about this kind of thing when I get younger, but if someone's religious, they're religious. Great. Mm-hmm, good for them. Mm-hmm, whatever gets you through the night, it's all right. Yeah. But I have made a choice not to send my son to a C of E school or a Catholic school. It's a non-religious school. So I found myself like getting a bit het up thinking, well, this is a bit weird. Why is he coming home singing about Jesus Christ being born? And I'm not sure about this. Has he got a religious teacher who's trying to sneak this in? What's going on here? And I eventually caught myself and thought, oh, Jeff, you're being ridiculous. When I remembered that just a few weeks earlier, he'd been doing Diwali at school. And he came home telling me about some Hindu story of Diwali and what's behind it. And I could not have been more thrilled.
Right.
Like we were out somewhere and he was pointing some Diwali things out. And I wanted to make sure that everyone heard him. And I thought, right. God, I'm pathetic, right? I'm exactly that person who would be so thrilled that his son is going to a multicultural school and learning about all the different cultures. And yet, how
dare they? How dare they use the word Christ in relation to Christmas? What is wrong with it? It's so pathetic. It's really pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then another trait that I, and I think maybe some other people share this as well. Like, I'll go to karaoke with a bunch of people. Maybe somebody will choose a hip-hop record that has a bunch of foul and perhaps even misogynistic lyrics. And I'll be mouthing along with them. Mm. And yet, if I have to go to a christening or a wedding or something like that in a church, I'm not closing my eyes or saying, oh, man, oh, no. It's so pathetic. So pathetic.
So did you manage to recall the email you sent to the school complaining about it then?
We got a Christmas tree.
Mm.
We went to the forest, Jean and I, with an axe, and we went to the place. And for this is the first year where I got them to deliver it.
Right, because, rather than carry it on your shoulder.
Well, in previous years, we've had a pram.
Oh, you put it in the pram.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because I can't carry a Christmas tree. And like Sarah and I can't Laurel and Hardy a Christmas tree. So I got them to deliver it, and I paid the extra tenner to have them put it up, because the amount of arguing we've done over the years about whether it's straight or not, I thought,
oh, right.
How great to be able to take that off the table completely. So that's what we did. So these two young men came round on the night. Sarah was out, and they put the tree up. Number one, they were so charismatic. I wanted to be their friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were both just out of university. Just great. I wish I'd got their number.
Sure, they would have given you number.
Seen how it's going and
text them. They probably don't even have text on their phone.
I could have been like the Fonz to their Richie and Ralph or Potsy. But secondly,
I'm sure they'd like that reference too.
Secondly, they took a picture of it. And I thought, oh, this is nice. They must be really proud of it. But part of the job is they have to take a picture of the tree so that if there are any complaints about whether it's about whether they put it up straight or not, then they can show the picture. This is how we left it.
Oh, so they got to a stage where there were a lot of complaints, and that was the solution.
Yeah. But then when that was explained to me, I sort of regretted getting in the picture and giving a big thumbs up.
Oh.
And doing the call me sign with my other hand. There's a similar thing going on with, and you probably don't have this way where you are, but have you heard of this thing Uber Eats?
Yeah, very funny, yeah. I like your little jokes. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah. Can you get anything on the way you live?
I think Tom actually got something once.
Wow.
Yeah.
From the one place that you have.
Yeah.
But they have started now. It's quite weird. When they drop food off, they want to take a photograph of the food having arrived.
Okay.
A bit like parcel companies do when they drop something on your doorstep.
Yeah, I've noticed they've started doing that, yeah.
But I think this is inherently a lot weirder when it's somebody answering the door. Because you end up posing with a bag of takeaway.
But I thought, when it's happened to me before with deliveries and they've wanted to take a photo still, they've taken a photo, it was just in my hands. Like, I haven't felt that my face has been in it.
Oh, Annabelle, I'm sorry.
Oh, do you think that's a diss?
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Right. So how much are you posing for these photos then?
Yeah, I've got a variety of different poses, different facial expressions.
Do you do your hair?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a couple of times when I've said, oh, could you just take another one?
You haven't.
Just take a look at that. I, years ago, I don't know if I can tell this story because it's nothing to be proud of. In fact, I feel a bit of shame about it. But let's get it out there.
Go on then.
I used to work in a music shop, which one of our departments was hiring out PA equipment and lighting for parties.
Mm-hmm.
And if people took stuff over a certain value, we used to have a Polaroid camera in the shop that we'd take a picture of them, in case that they scarpered with all this expensive kit, then we'd have something to give to the police to as a lead. Right?
A Polaroid picture.
Yeah.
Find this crook.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm sounding even more ancient than when I describe myself as being the Fonz to those guys.
Yeah.
But this is the bit I'm not proud of.
Oh, okay.
There was a lad called Mike who was my best friend who I worked in the shop with. And if it was somebody that we thought the other one would find particularly attractive, we'd make sure that we took a picture of them. And if they'd come in with somebody else, for example, their husband or partner, we'd make them stand separately.
No.
We'd say, oh, we need to get two separate pictures.
Yeah, you should feel ashamed.
I do feel ashamed. Mm. I mean, I think... but you know, I think there's also something quite sweet. I mean, I know it's creepy. It's definitely creepy.
Mm.
And I apologise. I mean, we're past the statute of limitations. I think we're talking 1988, 89 here. But,
right.
You know, I apologise to any of the people involved. But it does feel like something from another age, a 15-year-old boy behind the counter of a shop taking Polaroids of... like Polaroid pictures of ladies that his friend might find attractive.
It feels like something from pretty much Victorian times.
Yeah, it wasn't a Polaroid. It was a box brownie camera.
Yeah.
In fact, it wasn't a camera. It was an easel. I did charcoal drawings of them. Quandary Corner at the Glatt Clinic here in Problematic.
Mm-hmm. I did what I believe is called a shout out for festive quandaries.
Oh.
And we got quite a few. So we'll do two, and then maybe if we've got time, we'll do a third.
Okay. I'll tell you what, I'm going to switch into pacey mode.
Let's do this.
I'm ready to throw a bit of energy at this.
First one is from Anon. I have an anonymous question for the Glatt Clinic about presents. I am trying to curb my consumerism, and though I'm not a minimalist, I try to only bring things into my house that are useful and beautiful, to misquote the old William Morris adage. Every year around my birthday and Christmas, I really struggle with asking for presents, so I started making a birthday present list. These are often things that I've seen in little independent shops throughout the year that I know would make a good gift to myself and can be easily purchased on a website, or they are practical items that will help me with one of my varied hobbies. So essentially, these are things that I both want and need. The issue with these two categories is that they are either more expensive than the standard gift stuff. Thinking about the independent shops, I particularly like well-made, ethical or design-led products. Or they are perceived to be boring, i.e. I ask for a bendy lamp that I can wear around my neck to help me darn socks in the evening, something I really enjoy doing and find relaxing.
I know who this is from.
You don't?
It says anonymous, but I know it's from Father McKenzie.
Father McKenzie.
Darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there.
Oh, Father McKenzie, trying to cover up his identity. I try to split my present list by cost so that when a particular person asks me what I'd like, I can guess what their budget might be and give them an item that suits it. Most of the time, they are more than happy to buy the specific item. However, my mother-in-law is particularly difficult about this. She asked me specifically what I would like.
Can't believe that word was twice in rapid succession.
I hate Anon. But when I tell her, she either refuses on the grounds that the item is too boring, or she'll buy a cheaper imitation of the item and lump a load of extra stuff in with it to make it look bigger and therefore, to her, more impressive. So I often end up with something that I either can't use or don't want, or a load of extra filler to try and find a suitable home for. She also doesn't like gift vouchers. I think because you can see exactly what she paid, which is sort of fair enough. She is very much a quantity over quality person. What should I do? I feel like I've pushed myself out of my comfort zone by acknowledging some sort of boundary at the outset, which she initially agrees to and then completely ignores. Do I just have to brush it off for the rest of my life and live with the guilt of unnecessary consumerism on my behalf? Or am I just being an unbearable snob? Thank you in advance.
I mean, you don't have to just brush it off. I mean, you could always get divorced.
Oh, yeah. Then the mother-in-law won't be an issue any longer. Mm. Yes.
Or is there some other way of estranging yourself without jeopardizing your marriage? It's hard.
Yeah.
I've given it a lot of thought and
I don't think my opinion is this mother-in-law is not going to change.
Yes.
I can tell who she is.
Yes, I know I think who we all she can. Is. It's very
we
clear,
all know,
isn't it?
We all feel like we know her. And I think we all know deep down this is not a woman who plans to change in her lifetime. So I think you've got little choice really, just to suck it up. That's all you can do.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel that this is a mission for your spouse.
But also we are kind of getting into the territory of how much can you dictate what your present is?
Yes.
I think it's fine to be helpful and say, if people ask you what you want, to be helpful and say, I'd like this. But beyond that, I'm not sure you can do much else.
I don't know. I mean, I've got a funny relationship with that. Like a lot of people, maybe even most people I know, would rather tell people what they want and then just have them buy it for them.
Mm.
But it really feels one step away from saying, can I have £7.99? You know?
No. You're just helping them out and getting something you want. But you really are helping them out because it is an effort trying to buy someone something.
Oh, it's
you know
awful.
Like.
It's awful. But I've talked before on the podcast about how I am deeply grateful for every present I receive. And I don't want almost any of them. I just wish they weren't in my house.
Yeah.
But I feel gratitude. But what I really... But I don't want to tell people what to get me. What I really want is for them to express their love and friendship for me in a considerate way that perfectly marries who they are and who I am in gift form.
So that's all I want. The 20 friends and
yes,
20 family
yes,
members.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You know, I think that's kind of what gift, to me, that's what gift giving is.
And you should start in November to find the time for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I tend to start around now, which doesn't make that process easy. Mm. Oh, I don't know, Annabelle.
But I think we've kind of agreed, though, that she just has to suck it up. Like, if she can get her partner to do something about it, but otherwise, you just have to suck it up.
I'll be like, this is difficult, but you're going to need to speak to your mother on my behalf.
Or otherwise, the charity shops will benefit in the new year. So there's always that.
There is that, isn't there? Like, if she's going to fuel that culture of rampant consumerism anyway, then you might as well have your local branch of... do you know what? I can't. I've choked trying to think which charity shop to say.
Oh, because you wanted to pick the one that you support.
Yeah. So the first one that came into my mind, I don't think it's called that anymore. Then the next one I thought of, I've got it in the back of my head that there might have been an issue with them.
Okay. Right.
And then I thought of those charity shops that Mary Portas opened, but we had our own reasons to be cheerful. And I've got to be honest, I found her a little abrasive.
Okay. What I'm finding amazing is that it's quite clear from everything you're saying that not only was the first one you thought of not Oxfam, it wasn't your second or your third one. Like, that's everyone's first thought, Oxfam.
You think so, do you?
Yeah.
Right.
Not
All right.
You,
well,
not you.
Okay, well, are we done with that one?
I believe so. Let's move on.
Okay.
Two, His Royal Highness Joseph Gorsi. What is the etiquette when you receive a Christmas card addressed to someone else, but with your address on it, when it doesn't have a sender's address on the outside, e.g. for a previous owner who you don't have a forwarding address for? Do you open it up to see if there's some sort of address inside, put it back in the postbox with a not at this address written on the envelope, or heartlessly put it in the paper recycling? I think he's missed a fourth option. But I'd put the card up to make myself a little more popular. So far, I've only got two. There's only 10 days to go.
Yeah, that's a good one. So I think the honest answer is you write no longer at this address on the envelope.
Mm.
and then never get round to taking it to the post box, and you and throw it away at some point in January, maybe even February.
There's no point putting it in the recycling, putting it in the post box if there's not a return address.
Yeah, what are the post office going to do?
Exactly. They like get some forensic detectives on the case, like start fingerprinting it, and like, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think you have to open it, definitely.
Yes.
See if there's an address inside.
Money inside. See if there's money inside.
If there's an unusual name that you could then Google, that might be helpful.
It's a lot, though, isn't it?
Mm-mm. But anyway.
I don't want somebody who lived in my house six owners ago creating admin for me, possibly from beyond the grave.
Ah, yes.
So you're telling me that's what you would do? You'd be on the hunt. You'd be checking the census.
No, I would just put it up to make myself look more popular, and then in the recycling bin at the end of the year.
There we go. Well, okay. I think we're all heading for the same place, be it you putting it up, me writing no longer at this address and then not doing anything with it, or the post office.
Yeah.
We're all putting it in the bin.
Exactly. That's where it's all ending up. Yeah. I got time to do one more quick one.
Yeah, very happy.
This is from Nathaniel. I have a present related quandary. A couple of months ago, my daughter's friend's mum got a new job and was unable to do school pickup. We offered to help out and now take her two children for a couple of hours every Friday. We are more than happy to do so. It's a fun play date for our daughter. My quandary is thus: I have the feeling, as they are nice people and very grateful, that they may get us a Christmas present as a thank you. Now, we are not anywhere near close enough for gift giving in normal circumstances, but should we get them a gift just in case they get one for us? Or does that negate the nice gesture they'd be making, as it would be more a thank you present than a Christmas present? To give or not to give, what is the answer?
It's just occurred to me that I wish I was a classy enough person to have an emergency gift in my house at all times.
Oh, people do that, don't they? Yeah, I've heard of this.
What a great thing that would be.
So useful.
Why don't you get a tub of Quality Street? Or if you're feeling flash, some After Eights.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if these people are aristocrats, then some Benedict's vitamins.
Yeah, yeah.
And have them ready to go.
Mm.
But I see what you've. But and then, if this doesn't come to pass, you can just eat them.
I don't think this
isn't the issue. The issue is about it being a thank. So if somebody gives you a thank you gift, then reciprocating in some way diminishes their thanks because you've reduced it to the level of a Christmas gift.
What he definitely shouldn't do is get them a gift and give it to them before they've given theirs, in case they haven't, because that is horrific, because you're doing them a favour and you're giving them a present and they don't have one. That's the biggest no-no. I think if you're going to give one, it has to be something like chocolate that
a perishable
given
good.
Afterwards. A perishable good, or offer them a drink or a bottle of wine, something like that. But I personally don't think you need to give them one.
But the big question here is, is this hypothetical gift that they'll be receiving, is it a thank you gift or is it a Christmas gift, or is it going to be sort of uncomfortably bundled into one thing? Because if that's the problem.
It's a thank you and it's Christmas.
Okay, here's but what...
Okay, I don't think you need to give them a Christmas present in return.
You need three gifts in your house.
Of
varying values, like a baby bear, a mummy bear and a daddy bear gift.
Right.
In this example, the daddy bear is the biggest, but sometimes, smaller gentlemen like a taller lady.
Yep.
The mummies can be Amazonian, the dads can be Corbett-esque.
Okay.
You base what you give them on what you receive, and you go one size down, well, like one value size down from what they've given you.
And we've got you this just as a small little something.
Yeah, this is a little something.
And so you judge. So, you open so if they
give you
them.
If they give you a big thing, you give them the medium thing. Yeah, if they get you a medium thing, you give them the small thing. If they give you a small thing, you keep the you keep your small thing for yourself.
And let's just work through this.
Yeah.
Is it okay to open the present and then go, oh, right, I'll go and get yours now? You don't have to go and get theirs first and then open
them. No.
Fine.
No.
Fine. Yeah, that's the solution then. It's quite complicated, but there you go.
And that was our podcast for this year. So, Annabelle, you're always good at working this out. When's the next one then?
The next podcast?
Yeah.
First week of Jan.
Okay, so we will be back on either on the 5th of January. We'll record on the 4th and then you'll get it on the 5th, as long as my glands stay down.
Mm.
Or as long as there isn't some kind of terrible technical incident.
Mm-hmm.
We've had an unlucky couple of weeks, haven't we? But so thank you for listening, and thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music, and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music, and to Carla Gowlett for the photos, and Kim Rainey for our artwork. And most of all, I sort of said this before, but thank you to you for listening. It's been everybody had a hard year, to quote an old poet, but we really appreciate you continuing to lend us your ears week in, week out. Honestly, like, it really means something. And, you know, every now and again, even after all this time, we'll get a nice message, and it really means something. So thank you. How are you doing with this sincerity, Annabelle?
Oh, I'm with you, totally.
I thought my earnestness was making you uncomfortable.
No, I'm totally with you.
But we really appreciate it, so thank you. And sorry, I'm going a bit.
Oh.
It's other stuff. It's underlying stuff.
Yes.
Shall
I say something? Shall I do sincere? Would you like to hear that?
I think it would make you uncomfortable, wouldn't it? I mean, if you'd like, you know, you can have the floor if you want it, but I'm guessing that you don't.
No, of course not. But, yeah, no, it's best if I don't say anything.
Yeah, but
It's too awkward when I try and be sincere.
Yeah, it's awkward when I try it, but, you know, somebody's got to, haven't they? Mm. But, yeah, I hope you get some time with your family, or whoever your chosen family is. If it's not your you know, not the one you were born into, I hope you've got your people. And Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. Merry Festivus for the rest of us. And Happy New Year. And I'm taking a chance on you, so don't let me down. That was a reference to the Tesco meal deal. That wasn't more sincerity. Hello, Jeff and Annabelle from San Francisco, California.
Hello.
Hello. I'd like to request a memorial podication for my dear friend Amy.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, no disrespect, Meg, but
Yep.
You know, there's some stuff that's a bit too close to the surface for me to read this one, so.
Right, okay. I'd like to request a memorial podication for my dear friend Amy. It was going to be a celebratory surprise podication for the holidays, but sadly, she died recently at age 50. She was private about her illness, but not about her love for music and fashion. I know she'd be really tickled to be mentioned on your podcast. And because of that, this is a happy podication. She first introduced me to you through the Pete and Jeff show on Virgin Radio, thank goodness for the internet, and we'd both followed you ever since, now on this podcast. She and I both came of age in the heights of 80s music, and Amy and I worked together as graphic designers in the aughts in the San Francisco area. She was our office DJ and introduced me to so many bands and artists I'd maybe never know about if not for her. While I moved on from that job, we still often got together for the terrific live music in San Francisco clubs and venues. I'm a drifter by nature, but because of her, I got to see some amazing live shows. Through the years, she was a super fan of Roxy Music, Queen, Spandau Ballet, Duran Duran, Peter Weller, Stereophonics, Keane, so many more. And we were able to actually see some of them when they came through San Francisco on tour. I'm going to be thinking of Amy literally every day, as the music we both loved is always close at hand. She treated us with homemade pizzelles every Christmas. She introduced me to chicken tikka. She loved her Doc Martin boots and was always doting on her lovebird. The most recent ones were called Ozzy and then Bogey. I had intended to get her a Mug Chat mug for Christmas this year, but now I will get one and keep that myself and think of her with each sip. And I will not share that mug with anyone else. So, Amy, this message is for you, and I hope it finds its way through the universe so you know we're thinking of you and will always love you, our friend, Meg. Lovely, isn't it? Terribly sad.
Pizzelles, by the way, are sort of, I think, like Italian waffle cookies. Oh. I Googled it, but...
okay, pizzelles.
Oh, God, I'm in floods here. It's brutal. It's hard.
Yes.
Well, that was, you know, it's desperately sad to hear. But really beautiful as well. Like, it's just people find each other.
I love the story of their friendship.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
And that's, I don't know, I'm sort of torn between, like, stopping now, because that is a really poignant, beautiful moment, and feeling that we just need to kind of shift the energy a little bit to finish for the holidays. But, you know, but Amy wouldn't want us. Maybe she would. I mean, it doesn't sound like she would, but I sometimes think if I wasn't there, I would want people being very, really mawkish and sobbing and, you know, getting all into the pain of life without me. So I don't know. I can't speak for Amy, but assuming she wasn't like that, let's enjoy that for what it was, which was like a celebration of a friendship.
Yes.
And of a friend. And isn't that what... God, can you hear me trying to pretend like I'm not crying? isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what it's all about, Annabelle? What's it all about? Sometimes say, what's it all about? This is what it's all about. So there we go. This is for Amy. Merry Christmas. And we'll see you in... What year is it next? 2022? Should old acquaintance be forgotten? All that. Mm. So there you go. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And Amy, across the universe, we salute you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.